Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Juneau Assembly will consider raising local property taxes in the coming fiscal year to help cover school bond debt reimbursement it was expecting from the state. Assembly Finance Committee voted 6-3 last week in favor of a proposal that would raise property tax rates by about 1%. Mayor Beth Weldon proposed the increase and suggested that the added revenue go towards school bond debt reimbursement or other school facility projects. Juneau will owe an additional $7.1 million next fiscal year if the state decides not to reimburse school bond debt. The Finance Committee considered other proposals that would have meant lower property taxes, but Weldon said the city needs to prepare for a worst-case scenario.
Of the state budget uncertainty, we didn't do it that way to give us a little bit of advantage if we end up with more school bond debt reimbursement than we expected, or more school facility maintenance than we expected.
The state has traditionally funded a large portion of municipal debt on school construction projects, but the governor's budget proposed eliminating that program. The legislature's conference committee voted to fully fund school bond debt reimbursement in the state budget. Both the House and Senate will need to agree on a final version before it goes to the governor for a signature. That may not happen before the Assembly's June 3rd meeting, when it expects to take up property taxes again. The Juneau Community Foundation announced last week that it has secured a $660,000 grant for major renovations to the Treadwell Ditch Trail on Douglas Island. Local officials have highlighted the historic trail as a top priority for improvements in plans going back to 1976. It's finally coming together now because a lot of little political, bureaucratic, and economic stars aligned. Treadwell Ditch on Douglas Island once carried water to fortune seekers, and now a small fortune in federal dollars will carry the 5-year project to rebuild the trail that follows the ditch. The 14-mile trail is beloved by history buffs and outdoor enthusiasts like snow machiners, cross-country skiers, hunters, hikers, and mountain bikers for its gentle slope and the access it provides to otherwise remote public lands.
It's one of the few trails that is long and flat in Juneau. A lot of our trails are very steep, and they just, you know, they go up to the top of a mountain and back down.
Eric Boras is the executive director of Trail Mix, a local nonprofit that's worked on the trail and trail access on and off for years. The Community Foundation is hiring Trail Mix to continue its work through this grant. Miners first cut the ditch and trail in the 1880s to supply water and power to the now flooded Treadwell Mine in Douglas. In 2015 trail assessment, the U.S. Forest Service flagged endangered or lost historic structures and safety concerns, particularly around collapsing bridges. Boras remembers some particularly high-consequence crossings.
Eagle Creek had a bridge that had totally collapsed, and people were crossing on the 100-year-old slippery logs. Paris Creek was the same way. There was a dam there that significant fall, and there was a rope roughly stretched across that you could kind of use to help balance yourself, or you could just wade through the creek up to your knees, so depending on the water level. That's what it used to look like.
Both crossings have newer bridges now. In recent years, Trail Mix volunteers and professional crews have put in thousands of hours of work hauling tens of thousands of pounds of gravel, replacing bridges, clearing routes, and packing trail. Boras says over the next 5 years, his crews will work the entire length of the trail, going roughly south to north. He says the goal is for it to be bikeable from end to end. City and Borough of Juneau has already committed $100,000 to the project, and the Juneau Community Foundation plans to raise another $120,000 to fulfill grant obligations. While the Alaska Department of Fish and Game awarded the main grant, the money itself comes from federal taxes on firearms, bows, and ammunition. And a quick disclosure, the Juneau Community Foundation maintains the KTOO Legacy Foundation Fund. Wednesday was the deadline to submit comments to the state on a controversial mineral exploration project near Haynes. The public has 30 days to review Constantine Metal Resources' plan for managing waste during the excavation of a mile-long access tunnel. However, comments submitted by mail bounced back to senders because the Department of Natural Resources failed to list a P.O. box on its public notice. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
A little over a week ago, Haynes resident Tim June wrote a letter to the Department of Natural Resources, or DNR. He had been reading up on Constantine's permit applications for the Palmer Project, a mineral exploration site about 35 miles from town. He says he wrote DNR because he had concerns about the company's plan to prevent degradation of nearby streams during excavation of a mile-long access tunnel.
There's close to 2,000 pages of documents. go through, and I think I probably took 3 full days reading as much as I could.
He requested that DNR give the public more time to comment on the project's waste management permit and reclamation plan. On Wednesday, his letter showed up at the Haines post office marked return to sender. So June called DNR to find out what happened.
They said, oh, you have to have a P.O. box on our address or else it gets bounced back by Central Mail in Juneau. And so I asked them for that P.O. box since it wasn't listed on their website or on any of the public comment brochures. And it took them about 10 minutes to even find out what their P.O. box was.
Kyle Mosell handles the public comments on the Palmer Project for DNR. He says that the Postal Service has delivered mail to DNR's physical address in Juneau before.
In my inbox right now on my desk, I have mail that has the physical address on some of that mail, and I have mail with the P.O. box on the mail, and both of them have been delivered relatively recently.
But when he contacted the U.S. Postal Service's office in Juneau, he was told that mail could only be delivered to DNR's P.O. box. Mosell says he knows of 2 letters commenting on the Palmer Project that were returned to the senders. He has since received those letters. However, the total number of letters submitted to DNR that bounced back is unknown.
It's a situation that's, you know, kind of in flux right now, and I just don't have all the answers of what our response to that situation is going to be. I'm working on that with DNR and DEC.
Dozens of comments submitted by email, including a letter from the Haynesboro, requested more time to review Constantine's permit application. The lapse in delivering letters to DNR raises more questions about whether the comment period should be extended. The Palmer Project has been a source of controversy for residents of the Chilkat Valley. While some are excited about potential economic benefits of the project, others are concerned about the impact that mining could have on habitat for spawning salmon. The Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan and multiple conservation groups filed a lawsuit challenging Constantine's previous mineral exploration permits. An appeal of a court decision upholding the permits was filed last week. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
A small crowd marched on BP's American headquarters in Denver today, demanding the oil conglomerate not drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
BP, back off!
Protect the porcupine caribou!
BP, back off!
As Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, it's part of a larger effort by environmental groups to target oil companies and also banks.
While the demonstration in Denver was underway, the architect of the broader strategy was on a long-distance train traversing the length of the United Kingdom.
We are going through the countryside of Scotland at the moment, so we might lose reception or go through a tunnel or something.
Sierra Club campaign representative Ben Cushing is normally based in Washington, D.C., but BP's annual shareholder meeting this year is in Aberdeen in northeastern Scotland, so that's where he was headed. With him was Bernadette Dementiv, an anti-drilling activist from Arctic Village. They, or other ANWR drilling opponents, will be at the annual meetings of 4 major oil companies, and Cushing says they've set their sights on lenders, too.
Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citi, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley will be attending the shareholder meetings of all 6 of those banks this shareholder season and asking them point blank if they will commit to not investing in Arctic refuge drilling.
Cushing says they've got proxy status. A few owners of stock have agreed to let the activists represent their shares. It allows them to confront company executives directly in the Q&A portion of the shareholder meeting. Dementiv went to the ConocoPhillips shareholder meeting in Texas last week.
We have lived in this area for thousands of years. Don't take that from us. You have the ability to stop this, or not, at least you not going in there.
Conoco CEO Ryan Lance was polite and didn't show his cards. He said he understands the importance of subsistence hunting and told Dementiv ConocoPhillips has a good record in the Arctic.
Appreciate you coming today. Appreciate your passionate plea as well.
Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Let's take a look at the Juneau area forecast from the National Weather Service. Tonight, scattered rain showers, lows around 50. Light winds in the Mendenhall Valley. Tuesday, partly sunny, isolated rain showers, highs in the mid-60s, highs around 70 in the Mendenhall Valley. That's the KTUO News Update for Monday, May 20th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.